Ars Arcanum, the Ten Essences and Their Historical Associations. 1. Jess. Gemstone, sapphire. Essence, zephyr. Body focus, inhalation. Soul casting properties, translucent gas, air. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, protecting, leading. 2. Nan. Gemstone, smokestone. Essence, vapor. Body focus, exhalation. Soul casting properties, opaque gas, smoke, fog. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, just, confident. 3. Chach. Gemstone, ruby. Essence, spark. Body focus, the soul. Soul casting properties, fire. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, brave, obedient. 4. Vev. Gemstone, diamond. Essence, lucentia. Body focus, the eyes. Soul casting properties, quartz, glass, crystal. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, loving, healing. 5. Pala. Gemstone, emerald. Essence, pulp. Body focus, the hair. Soul casting properties, wood, plants, moss. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, learned, giving. 6. Shash. Gemstone, garnet. Essence, blood. Body focus, the blood. Soul casting properties, blood, all non-oil liquid. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, creative, honest. 7. Batab. Gemstone, zircon. Essence, tallow. Body focus, oil. Soul casting properties, all kinds of oil. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, wise, careful. 8. Kak. Gemstone, amethyst. Essence, foil. Body focus, the nails. Soul casting properties, metal. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, resolute, builder. 9. Tanit. Gemstone, topaz. Essence, talus. Body focus, the bone. Soul casting properties, rock and stone. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, dependable, resourceful. 10. Ishi. Gemstone, heliodor. Essence, sinew. Body focus, flesh. Soul casting properties, meets, flesh. Primary, secondary, divine attributes, pious, guiding. The preceding list is an imperfect gathering of traditional Boron symbolism associated with the Ten Essences. Bound together, these form the double eye of the Almighty, an eye with two pupils representing the creation of plants and creatures. This is also the basis for the hourglass shape that was often associated with the Knights Radiant. Ancient scholars also place the Ten Orders of Knights Radiant on this list, alongside the heralds themselves, who each had a classical association with one of the numbers and essences. I'm not certain yet how the Ten Levels of Void Binding, or its cousin, the Old Magic, fit into this paradigm, if indeed they can. My research suggests that indeed there should be another series of abilities that is even more esoteric than the Void Bindings. Perhaps the Old Magic fits into those, though I am beginning to suspect it is something entirely different. Note that I currently believe the concept of the body focus to be more a matter of philosophical interpretation than an actual attribute of this investiture and its manifestations. The Ten Surges. As a complement to the essences, the classical elements celebrated on Roshar, are found the Ten Surges. These, thought to be the fundamental forces by which the world operates, are more accurately a representation of the ten basic abilities offered to the heralds, and then the Knights Radiant, by their bonds. Adhesion, the surge of pressure and vacuum. Gravitation, the surge of gravity. Division, the surge of destruction and decay. Abrasion, the surge of friction. Progression, the surge of growth and healing or regrowth. Illumination, the surge of light, sound, and various waveforms. transformation, the surge of soul casting, transportation, the surge of motion, and realmatic transition, cohesion, the surge of strong axial interconnection, tension, the surge of soft axial interconnection. On the creation of fabrials. Five groupings of fabrial have been discovered so far. The methods of their creation are carefully guarded by the artifabrian community, but they appear to be the work of dedicated scientists as opposed to the more mystical surge bindings once performed by the Knights Radiant. I am more and more convinced that the creation of these devices requires forced enslavement of transformative cognitive entities known as spren to the local communities. Altering fabrials. Augmenters. These fabrials are crafted to enhance something. They can create heat, pain, or even a calm wind, for instance. They are powered, like all fabrials, by stormlight. They seem to work best with forces, emotions, or sensations. The so-called half-shards of Yakoved are created with this type of fabrial attached to a sheet of metal, enhancing its durability. I have seen fabrials of this type crafted using many different kinds of gemstone. I am guessing that any one of the 10 pole stones will work. Diminishers. These fabrials do the opposite of what augmenters do, and generally seem to fall under the same restrictions as their cousins. Those artifabrians who have taken me into confidence seem to believe that even greater fabrials are possible than what have been created so far, particularly in regard to augmenters and diminishers. Pairing fabrials. Conjoiners. By infusing a ruby and using methodology that has not been revealed to me, though I have my suspicions, you can create a conjoined pair of gemstones. The process requires splitting the original ruby. The two halves will then create parallel reactions across a distance. Span reeds are one of the most common forms of this type of fabrial. Conservation of force is maintained. For instance, if one is attached to a heavy stone, you will need the same strength to lift the conjoined fabrial that you need to lift the stone itself. There appears to be some sort of process used during the creation of the fabrial that influences how far apart the two halves can go and still produce an effect. Reversers. Using an amethyst instead of a ruby also creates conjoined halves of a gemstone, but these two work in creating opposite reactions. Raise one and the other will be pressed downward, for instance. These fabrials have only just been discovered, and already the possibilities for exploitation are being conjectured. There appear to be some unexpected limitations to this form of fabrial, though I have not been able to discover what they are. Warning fabrials. There is only one type of fabrial in this set, informally known as the alerter. An alerter can warn one of a nearby object, feeling, sensation, or phenomenon. These fabrials use a heliodor stone as their focus. I do not know whether this is the only type of gemstone that will work, or if there is another reason heliodor is used. In the case of this kind of fabrial, the amount of stormlight you can infuse into it affects its range. Hence, the size of gemstone used is very important. Wind running and lashings. Reports of the assassin in white's odd abilities have led me to some sources of information that, I believe, are generally unknown. The Windrunners were an order of the Knights Radiant, and they made use of two primary types of surge binding. The effects of these surge bindings were known, colloquially among the members of the order, as the Three Lashings. Basic Lashings. Gravitational Change. This type of lashing was one of the most commonly used lashings among the Order, though it was not the easiest to use. That distinction belongs to the full lashing below. A basic lashing involved revoking a being's or object's spiritual gravitational bond to the planet below, instead temporarily linking that being or object to a different object or direction. Effectively, this creates a change in gravitational pull, twisting the energies of the planet itself. A basic lashing allowed a windrunner to run up walls, to send objects or people flying off into the air, or to create similar effects. Advanced uses of this type of lashing would allow a windrunner to make himself or herself lighter by binding part of his or her mass upward. Mathematically, binding a quarter of one's mass upward would halve a person's effective weight. Binding half of one's mass upward would create weightlessness. Multiple basic lashings could also pull an object or a person's body downward at double, triple, or other multiples of its own weight. Full lashings, binding objects together. A full lashing might seem very similar to a basic lashing, but they worked on very different principles. While one had to do with gravitation, the other had to do with the force, or surge, as the radiants called them, of adhesion, binding objects together as if they were one. I believe this surge may have had something to do with atmospheric pressure. To create a full lashing, a windrunner would infuse an object with stormlight, then press another object to it. The two objects would become bound together with an extremely powerful bond, nearly impossible to break. In fact, most materials would themselves break before the bond holding them together would. Reverse lashing, giving an object a gravitational pull. I believe this may actually be a specialized version of the basic lashing. This type of lashing required the least amount of stormlight of any of the three lashings. The windrunner would infuse something, give a mental command, and create a pull to the object that yanked other objects toward it. At its heart, this lashing created a bubble around the object that imitated its spiritual link to the ground beneath it. As such, it was much harder for the lashing to affect objects touching the ground, where their link to the planet was strongest. Objects falling or in flight were the easiest to influence. Other objects could be affected, but the stormlight and skill required were much more substantial. Light weaving. A second form of surge binding involves the manipulation of light and sound in illusory tactics common throughout the Cosmere. Unlike the variations present on Cell, however, this method has a powerful spiritual element requiring not just a full mental picture of the intended creation, but some level of connection to it as well. The illusion is based not simply upon what the light weaver imagines, but upon what they desire to create. In many ways, this is the most similar ability to the original Yolish variant, which excites me. I wish to delve more into this ability, with the hope to gain a full understanding of how it relates to cognitive and spiritual attributes. Soul casting. Essential to the economy of Roshar is the art of soul casting, in which one form of matter is directly transformed into another by changing its spiritual nature. This is performed on Roshar via the use of devices known as soul casters. And these devices, the majority of which appear to be focused on turning stone into grain or flesh, are used to provide mobile supply for armies or to augment local urban food stores. This has allowed kingdoms on Roshar, where fresh water is rarely an issue because of high storm rains, to field armies in ways that would be unthinkable elsewhere. What intrigues me most about soul casting, however, are the things we can infer about the world and investiture from it. For example, certain gemstones are requisite in producing certain results. If you wish to produce grain, however, your soul caster must both be attuned to that transformation and have an emerald, not a different gemstone, attached. This creates an economy based on the relative values of what the gemstones can create, not upon their rarity. Indeed, as the chemical structures are identical for several of these gemstone varieties, aside from trace impurities, the color is the most important part, not their actual axial makeup. I'm certain you will find this relevance of hue quite intriguing, particularly in its relationship to other forms of investiture. This relationship must have been essential in the local creation of the table I've included above, which lacks some scientific merit, but is intrinsically tied to the folklore surrounding soul casting. An emerald can be used to create food, and thus is traditionally associated with a similar essence. Indeed, on Roshar, there are considered to be 10 elements, not the traditional 4 or 16, depending on local tradition. Curiously, these gemstones seem tied to the original abilities of the Soulcasters, who were an Order of Knights Radiant, but they don't seem essential to the actual operation of the investiture when performed by a living Radiant. I do not know the connection here, though it implies something valuable. Soulcasters, the devices, were created to imitate the abilities of the surge of soulcasting, or transformation. This is yet another mechanical imitation of something once only available only to a select few within the bounds of invested art. The honor blades on Roshar, indeed, may be the very first example of this, from thousands of years ago. I believe this has relevance to the discoveries being made on Scadrial and the commoditization of allomancy and ferrochemy. This is Michael Kramer. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Oathbringer by Brandon Sanderson. Post-production by John Marshall Media. Text copyright 2017 by Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC. Production copyright 2017 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.